Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Smartphones and computers have now enslaved most of the world's population. Loving the convenience, all too many people are now addicted to the lure of the internet. The tentacles of the dark side run deep, right into your home and mine. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. With his guest, Pastor Larry McCarthy, Pastor Lutzer continues discussing his book, The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to Be a Light in the Darkness.
You know, when we think of Daniel and his friends, they had some very, very tough challenges. And we have challenges today. By the way, a young intern here at the Moody Church told me that the reason he is able to keep himself pure in the midst of our Babylonian culture here in the West, one of the reasons is because he has been challenged by the words of Daniel. The Bible says Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. We need an army of Daniels today who are resolved that they will not defile themselves with our present culture. And one of the ways in which we are tempted to defile ourselves is through technology. This is the next section that we want to talk about today. You know, we live at a time when everyone has a cell phone, everyone is interested in what is on television, and we have a myriad of different ways that we can communicate. And I'll begin by saying, of course, there's some good in this. We all use technology. The fact that you are listening to this is thanks to technology. But I'm so concerned about what we find in today's culture. There are myths connected with technology. And one of them is that it really doesn't affect us and that we can watch whatever we want. Another myth is this, that technology is neutral. After all, it depends how you use it. And we've already indicated that we can use it in many good ways. But Larry, I don't think that technology is neutral.
I thought that was a wonderful challenge when you said that it's always about the business of trying to influence how we think. And so when I gave that some thought, I thought, well, how much, and even with news, for example, am I being informed or am I being influenced? And I thought about that from the standpoint that so much of what happens with technology is about trying to influence a lifestyle, behavior, or what we think. When I was a young child, we only had four channels on television, and television went off. At about midnight or so, this concludes our broadcast day, and television ended. Now it's 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year.
About 100 channels.
300 plus channels, repeating the same stuff over and over again. And it has really invaded, and that's where my thoughts went with this, Pastor, how much it's invaded into home. Where is the break now with work? And I want you to address that, but you know there was a time people went to work, they put in a good hard day's work for an honest day's pay, they went home, but they left work. With the advent of the virtual office, the internet, texting, they don't get away from it. They bring it right home, and it's invading into family time.
Oh, exactly. And I think it's even worse than that. I think that young people aren't reading books today. The reading level continues to fall because they're watching videos. They have their cell phones, they have their iPads, their tablets, whatever. And we become a nation that is addicted to technology because technology is almost instantly addictive. Larry, you know, you said that when you were younger, you know, TV ended at noon. Now that made me think of this. I was born on a farm in Saskatchewan, Canada, a lot earlier than you were born. I'm a lot older. And I remember going to this city and television was coming in and there was a TV set that was running patterns.
Okay.
It looked like snow. And everybody was gathering in this particular shop just to watch these patterns, these black and white patterns. There was no picture, but we were told that someday there would be one. And we thought, wow, someday there's going to be a picture on that tube. Now, I mentioned that just to show that I've come an awful long way. We also had a box phone and, you know, on the wall. And I remember our ring out in the farm was two longs and two shorts. Of course, we used to listen to the neighbors, too.
So this was a party line?
This was a party line. Okay. We're off topic, but yet we're on topic.
Yes.
Technology. I have witnessed such a revolution and of technology, and all of us have, really. And I think that it is very, very destructive. Despite its good points, the simple fact is I could spend the rest of this broadcast talking about young people who have been caught in the web of pornography, video games that oftentimes lead them into demonic kinds of religions and demonic kinds of relationships, and just the obsession, And, you know, it's hard for us to eat a meal without us bringing our cell phones. And if it makes a ding, you know, we want to see who connected with us. And so I wrote this chapter with a great burden because I think that the responsibility rests with the church. I think that churches have to give families guidance regarding technology. Mm. And then the rest of the chapter is devoted to parents because I think that parents have to say, here we stand. And we can do no other, and we will not allow our children to have unlimited access to the internet, unlimited access to technology in their bedrooms. I could tell you one story after another of young people who said to me they had a TV in their bedroom, a cell phone, whatever, and late at night, there they are watching stuff that is impure and degrading and becoming a slave to technology. So it's a real difficulty.
Is that cake already baked? I mean, are we too late?
Wow, are we too late? Probably to some extent, but I don't want to say that giving the impression we shouldn't do something about it.
Yes.
You know, and I think that the responsibility really ultimately rests in the home, working in conjunction with the church. So what I talk about is the need to shield children and also to prepare them for what they are going to see, because unfortunately you've discovered that, Larry, is that we cannot keep our children from seeing some stuff they shouldn't see, can we?
Unfortunately, no. It's permeated too much of the culture. Almost everyone now has a communication device, and it's just driving into the interface of everything that we do. So whether you're opening your locker or the door at your house or ordering food or looking at your homework, everything now evolves around the technology. The question that we don't ask in this, and I think you raise it in this chapter, is just because we can do something, should we? So we have this technology to do these things, but should we use it? So when the new things come, I think that's the question that you're really challenging the parents to ask. Just because it's new and it's available doesn't mean you should.
Just because, you know, fourth graders in school come to you and they say, you know, every fourth grader in my school has a cell phone. Parents, that doesn't mean that your fourth grader has to have a cell phone. But even in terms Yes. of rules within the home, I know at least two homes where this happens, that before they go for dinner, for example, everybody takes their cell phone and they put it in a basket because we're going to have dinner now. We're actually going to look into our eyes, one another's eyes, and we're going to have a healthy discussion. We aren't going to be looking down at our laps, pretending that we're just looking at our napkin and at the same time messing around with our iPhone. There comes a time when we need to simply shut it off. But that's another myth.
Yes.
The myth is, oh, well, we can just shut it off. And the answer is, no, you can't. You can't shut it off any more than an alcoholic can just stop drinking. The simple fact is, the addiction is there. So I speak about preparing children for this. I speak about the need for various ways in which we have to protect our children. But at the same time, let us make sure that technology does not stand in the way of personal development. You know, I have stories in here, of course, about how destructive it is. I was at a Christian camp, and there were four young people, five, I think, on couches. Not a one of them was talking to each other. They were all on their cell phones. And I attended a youth rally, if we can call it that. And I walked at the back of it. And it was during the evening, and the person had not announced his scripture yet, so the kids weren't looking at scripture, but you look all throughout, and the kids have their cell phones.
Can we consecrate the technology? Just say, this is really formidable, so it's here. How do we consecrate it, or can we?
I actually make the statement that I think that this is the devil's territory. I know that that's strong, but... when the devil roars, the Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion. He's not looking for prey. You don't find a lion roaring when he's looking for prey. You find a lion roaring when he's marking territory. He's saying, this is where I rule. And I have such a negative view of what is happening because of technology. I think that we cannot curb it. We cannot deal with it unless we recognize the depths of the potential for evil. And nobody has to write me a letter and tell me, yes, but it's also used for good. I know that.
Yes.
And much good. The gospel is going out around the world, even in closed countries where you could never go before. We ourselves, of course, use technology to get the gospel out. But at the same time, if we don't see all of the red flags for the next generation, I don't know how we're going to pull out of this.
Yes.
So the emphasis that I want to make today is that the church in Babylon has to wake up to reality.
Yes.
We have to be able to see that whether or not it's the state becoming God, whether or not it is technology, we have to be able to stand, to quote the words of Martin Luther, to draw that line and say, here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. People may criticize me. I might be shamed because of my stand. But, you know, to hearken back to the story that we told earlier about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the reason they had the strength to do what they did is they said, we fear God more than the fiery furnace. We need people who fear God
yes.
more than the disapproval of culture or our children or our families.
Amen.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with Larry McCarthy discussing Pastor's new book, The Church in Babylon. Next time on Running to Win, all about the hot-button issue of transgenderism.
You know, my friend, we are living at a time when we are dealing with issues that many of us never even heard of a couple of decades ago. And I've written the book entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be a Light in the Darkness. I frequently say that it is my legacy book. It deals with issues, for example, such as transgenderism and immigration and other issues and five false gospels within the evangelical church. What we have to do when we talk about this is to speak with a great deal of compassion.
Yes.
And I might say to parents out there, if your child comes to you and says, you know, I think that I'm transgender or perhaps that I'm interested in same-sex relationships, what those children need, and adults as well, is a safe place where these issues can be discussed. Because I'm sure you've experienced, Larry, that if all that we do is condemn people,
yes,
it just drives them further into the lifestyle.
The Church in Babylon book can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.